Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Jumpstart your savings with Commonwealth Central Credit Union. We'll even help you get started by giving you $200 when you open our high-yield GTKY savings account. Whether you want to build emergency savings, save for a big purchase, or put money aside for a special event, we're here to help you reach your financial goals. Jumpstart your savings with $200 from Commonwealth. Visit wealthcu.org and enter promo code JUMPSTART. Federally insured by NCUA. Certain restrictions apply. Visit website for complete details.
Real life is not a game. If you get behind the wheel intoxicated, you're gambling with your life and the lives of others. Play it safe and designate a sober driver. Learn more at chpddp.com. This message is brought to you by the California Highway Patrol.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right, man, let's talk about another wide receiver here in Deebo Samuel. Oh, my gosh. I mean, everyone thought the worst. And really, it's 2 weeks in a row now. Everyone thought the worst of Trevor Lawrence, and the dude just went out there and absolutely crushed it, balled out of his mind. We thought he had a bad wheel, but no, he looked totally good to go. Deebo, same thing. When he got rolled up, man, I mean, just about damn near everybody thought he tore an ACL or something real, at the very least, a really bad high ankle sprain. It comes back an MCL injury in a regular ankle sprain, a low ankle sprain. No ACL damage, no high ankle. He's expected back this season. Although I think it is a fair question to ask, Matt, you know, what do we kind of expect with Deebo Samuel, not just for this year, but I mean, even moving forward into 2022 and beyond?
It's a good question. And just on like the idea that he could be back this season, I think there's certainly a chance he could play again in the regular season. But, you know, part of me is almost like, Do you really want to risk it? You know,
no.
Do you want to bring him back early? Because the 49ers right now, according to 538, have a 98% chance to make the playoffs. They have a 92% chance to win the division. They do play Seattle on Thursday night.
That's huge.
So that's a big game, although Seattle's kind of trending in the wrong direction. And man, BCB Brock Purdy, bro, was just what a game. What a game on Sunday. Hopefully he's healthy. You know, with this oblique injury too. So I don't know. Part of me is almost like I'd rather they just, I don't know, shut Deebo Samuel down, rest the season, and just bring him back in the playoffs. Because not like they've got like a shortage of playmakers, right? Ayuk was awesome on Sunday. Christian McCaffrey was awesome on Sunday. So I think there's a chance they could shut him down, even if he's like quote healthy enough, anyways. But to your point about like, you know, the rest of this season or even going forward with Deebo. You know, man. Yeah, and I guess got an alert right now that like Deebo could return as soon as week 17. I just don't even. Again, I don't see the point of like bringing him back in week 17 because I think you'll have your stuff all wrapped up by then. But whatever, we'll see. Deebo's a tough one for me, man, because you know we just did the superstar the wide receiver superstar penthouse episode,
right?
And I don't think either one of us even considered putting Deebo in there, right?
Didn't even mention him. And I think last year
we mentioned him in passing and both agreed we don't have him. We don't have him here.
And clearly at the end of last season, Deebo Samuel is clearly a top five wide receiver. You know, again, not from like a route running standpoint or any of those things, but just overall player. Right. And that, and that's the evaluation that you need to take with somebody like Deebo Samuel is you just got to look at the player. Like, what does this guy do all over the football field? Hey, listen, coming in, you know, before the injury now, you know, coming into week 14, we're talking about a guy that had 840 scrimmage yards, 5 total touchdowns, 54 receptions. Although it is interesting, a career low 59.3% catch rate. From a fantasy perspective and a real life perspective, he had some dominant moments, but certainly they were few and far between. He's had a couple of games of 20-point PPR games, a couple of single-digit PPR games, and a lot of these ho-hum 12 to 15-point games as well. Fantasy's not everything, but I think even from a real life perspective, just watching him play, he did not necessarily make all of those splash plays that we got accustomed to seeing in 2021. Look, it's definitely fair to say he didn't build on his 2021 campaign.
I think this is where I definitely sometimes rail on fantasy for being like, you know, getting too lost in the weeds and stupid stuff and like over focus on stats and things like that. But this is one thing where I think like fantasy players and even most fantasy analysts really are ahead of the curve on than like casual NFL fans or NFL observers on like just how tough it is to roll over year to year, like hyper efficiency, like a guy like Deebo Samuel, who is hyper efficient, you know, the big plays, the running hot on touchdowns, running hot on like, I mean, we talked about this a little bit with Jaylen Waddle on the Superstar episode where the amount of like, what Deebo Samuel was doing consistently, getting not just the yards after the catch, but getting yards after the catch on like passes in the intermediate area, just absurd stuff. That's really hard. Like the R word, regression, right? Like where, you know, the villain of fantasy, but like it is the reality that it's really hard to roll over hyper efficiency like that. And this is something I've said a lot with Deebo, that like everybody was very excited about what he did the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season last year, 10 weeks of the season last year, when he was just dominating the targets, dominating the passing opportunities in San Francisco. And like I said a lot, like that's not ever going to happen again because Ayuk is out of the doghouse. And I mean, he looks incredible this year. He looks like he's close to a star level player. Mm-hmm. Kittle was not healthy during that stretch. So like, that's the funny thing, is his production is down, but I don't feel any differently about Deebo Samuel, the player, right now than I did week 5, week 6 of last season. Like, he's the same guy, but the stats aren't there because there's so many other guys involved in this offense. And okay, well then when you bring the target share down, you bring the opportunities per game down, you lessen your odds of hitting that absurd big play that he's one of one in terms of what he can do, like make those big plays he can make in the open field. It just, again, when your opportunities per game are down, your target share is down, the less chances you're going to have to hit that kind of play. And I think that's probably what's going on with him.
Yeah, so 2021, the guy had 1,770 scrimmage yards, 14 touchdowns, and it was just incredible, right? Now, he also had 13 yards per touch. I bring that up because in 2020, he had 10 yards a touch, and in 2019, he had 13.5 yards per touch. So this season in 2022, it's 8.8 yards per touch, a significant downgrade, not just from 2021, but I think from his career standpoint in general as well. So I look at that and I say, okay, is 2021, which was his third year in the league, this is his fourth, is 2021 going to be more of a footnote on his career, or is this year, 2022, going to kind of be that, oh, well, he just had that one down year, but now he's back to being Deebo Samuel. You know what I mean? Is he going to be the bully on that block in 2023 and beyond? Or is 2021 more of kind of a, you know, a unique unicorn type season? I'm not that sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the fence about it too, because obviously, again, what he did from a yards per catch standpoint last year, 18.2, that's right. Nuts considering again, he is not like a vertical. We typically think of these guys that lead the NFL, and by the way, he led the NFL in yards per reception last year. We typically think of those guys as like DeSean Jackson types, you know, the outside, the numbers, like vertical guys. He's obviously could not be anything. He couldn't be more different than that type of player. So yeah. That was, again, this is the type of thing what I say with fantasy folks are there. We're good about knowing that that's not like going to repeat. Like he ain't going to just average 18.2 yards per reception probably ever again. And he's had a bit of a weird career too, right? Because this 2020 season, I talk about this a lot, is one that almost is like you need to just take that in the trash and throw it out, because he had such a, like, he was clearly playing hurt all year. He had like a little tiny microscopic A dot. And then you come back to like the rushing stuff the last 2 years, you know, 59 carries, 365 yards in 2021. 41 carries, 228 yards this year, almost a full yard less on average per carry there. Again, that's just the stuff that's going to regress. And then part of me too is like, bro, I don't really want to be seeing Deebo Samuel, you know, running up the middle anymore. Like that, I mean, that's how he got hurt in this game, right? But then at the other
side,
that's
what Jerry Rice, the legend Jerry Rice, tweeted that out. Stop sending these guys up the middle, and I couldn't agree more.
I know. So, but at the same time, what Deebo does as a runner is so special, right? Like, I mean, the first touchdown in this game was like a crazy play down the sideline. It was a bit, again, a more outside breaking towards the sideline type of run. I think you could still get him doing it that way. But like, yeah, these Deebo up the gut runs, like, enough already with that.
So according to your reception perception data here, success rate versus man, he's always been kind of meh about that, even below average. Certainly right. In 2019, you had him down at 66.9% success rate versus man. And last year in 2021, 64.3%, has always been great against zone. Elite against zone, north of 85%, both in 2019 and 2021. Again, we'll just kind of sort of toss out 2020, which is fine. But again, that's kind of sort of the player that he is. Although, Matt, I'll ask you this. Are you a little bit surprised maybe that he has not increased his success rate versus man score?
Not really, because I think he's a little bit of a limited player, just like, he's just never been that great of a technician when it comes to his ability to win against like tight physical coverage. He's certainly like I think he's a good contested catch receiver, right? Like, I don't think it's a lack of like physicality, stuff like that. I just think like in terms of getting off the line of scrimmage, in terms of like breaking on your routes against man coverage, I don't think he's ever been great about that. I do think he's a really smart player. I think the route combinations in San Francisco are great, which is why he's been a good zone coverage beater. And shoot, I mean, most of the NFL runs zone coverage. It's really important. Like, the fact that he's an elite player against zone coverage, you know, it just makes a lot of sense. But, you know, he's never been a guy that I think even his biggest supporters, or like, you know, even the 49ers who clearly love the guy, would ever think like, yeah, we don't take Deebo Samuel and line him up at X receiver and like, you know, we move him pre-snap at flanker. We get him in motion prior to the snap, stuff like that. So that's why he's been a great zone coverage beater, because he's able to get into those spots. But yeah, I'm not too surprised. I think it's just kind of the player that he is.
You know, two random notes that I just wanted to kind of get out there too is, I know Shanahan has his detractors, you know, but I think one of the things that I've definitely appreciated about Kyle Shanahan is that he's able to kind of look at what guys are able to do well, and he puts these guys in positions to succeed. You know, Deebo Samuel, I think, is certainly a guy that he's helped do that with. And then now that I look at the run game now with CMC too, I'm watching so much more gap scheme stuff than I think I've ever seen from a Kyle Shanahan offense. Right. And I think for me, that really fits into what, you know, like CMC's vision, you know, works well. Like I think he's a better gap scheme runner than an outside zone runner. Not that he can't do it. It's just, you know, going back to his Stanford days, it's all about power football and those kind of things. Right. And to be honest with you, I just feel like Shanahan has changed up his run game. Not that he never had gap scheme runs in his offense. Obviously he did. But the outside zone runs were just such a like big part of what made Shanahan's run game so special. But Now that he has a special player in CMC, I'm seeing a lot more gap scheme, like guards pulling and, you know, CMC running right up the middle, right around end or whatever it might be. So I just think, like I said, I know Shanahan has a lot of detractors, but boy, I tell you, I've really been impressed with his overall offense, his ability to kind of mold and adapt what he does offensively to fit his guys' skill sets the best.
100%. And there, you just can't argue with the production they get out of quarterbacks, right? I mean, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, always super efficient. I think we got to, you know, I was tweeting about this a little bit with Evan Sowards today, who's a 49ers fan. Like, bro, we got to talk about Brian Greasy a little bit more, right? Like, remember they hired Brian Greasy, who was like he's commentating Monday Night Football last year, and they hire him to be the quarterback coach. And like, man, Jimmy, I think, has had his best season this year as a 49er. You know, obviously the Trey Lance injury is unfortunate, but then like Brock Purdy comes out and he's just dealing, bro. I mean, he was legitimately really, really good against the Buccaneers. I watched that game pretty much start to finish, and you can't until they cut it off. Like, Brock Purdy's beating Tom Brady's ass so bad they took it off like TV on. They're like, we can't let you see the rest of this. Like, you don't want to watch Tom Brady get his ass beat by Brock Purdy, right? Go check out Sam Darnold and Geno Smith. Check out that barn burner over there. Whoa, look at how many carries Chuba Hubbard has, right? So, but like, you can't really say. I mean, he had one mistake, right? That got called back because of a holding play that wasn't really part of the play at all. So there was that one mistake. But I mean, Purdy was literally the last pick in the draft and was ready to roll against the Bucs, like, which their defense is obviously their entire team. We're talking about them are underperforming. But I mean, my God, they still have good players on defense. And this guy, Brock Purdy, was just out there dealing. Like, I think I'm just kind of surprised we haven't had some sort of like, I don't know, big puff piece on Brian Greasy, because he's got these quarterbacks ready to roll.
Get dressed, women, and ye men, in Tommy John each day. Remember, it's the perfect gift to give this holiday.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. With over 18 million pairs sold to good boys and girls just like you, Tommy John is rearing in this softness season with a gift to those who made my nice list. You deserve a special gift of Tommy John underwear and loungewear.
Wonderful all throughout the land, Tommy John's gladly worn. Underwear and loungewear upon each blessed morn, making everyone comfy whose body they adorn. Get Tommy John for comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Get Tommy John for comfort and joy.
Ho, 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 ho. This holiday season, make everyone in your family that much more comfortable with the holiday gift of Tommy John underwear and loungewear. For the holidays, get 30% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/victory. 30% off right now at TommyJohn.com/victory. See site for details.
That's such a great point. And I think it's because we're just so used to kind of like heaping praise on the Shanahans.
True.
That we don't necessarily maybe kind of look at some of their assistants there. But overall, yeah, you're right. Brian Greasy, I think, has been a little bit of a quarterback whisperer. I even wonder, is it like less mechanics and just more like mental, you know, because this guy's got so much, you know, just experience in terms of like talking to quarterbacks and like kind of bringing out the best. But, you know, the thing about Brock Purdy too that I love, man, like he's got this irrational confidence about him too. Like, bro, you're Mr. Irrelevant, but he plays like he's got like that moxie, which I love, you know.
Yeah, I kind of forgotten about Brian Greasy at all, again, because really I feel like nobody's talking about Brian
no one is talking about him.
Greg Olson brought him up during the broadcast against the Bucks on Sunday because they used to play together in Chicago. Like,
that's right.
Like, he was like, oh yeah, he was around when the other guy is it Burkhardt who does the games with
Kevin Burkhardt?
Yep. Yeah, Burkhardt, so, brought it up. Like, you were teammates with him when you were in Chicago. And they went on a big thing about Greasy after that. So, I think it's interesting. But yeah, Brock Purdy, man, a lot of confidence. BCB, what a guy.
Hey, man, let's stay in that same game. You can't get away from talking about Tom Brady, man. You know, Mr. Irrelevant, this rookie, comes in and just absolutely lays the smack down. I get the Tampa Bay's down Vea. They're down both starting safeties, but who cares, dude? Like, Purdy played really, really well. And I know Tom Brady's going up against, you know, again, arguably the best defense in the NFL in San Francisco. But, bro, oh my God, Tom Brady looked absolutely horrific, man. Like, what is going on? I think, again, this is a fair question to ask. Is my dude Tom Brady, who's like AARP membership, like, is he done? Like, is he done? Because, bro, he looked bad. And he's looked bad for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, man. I think this was the first game. I'll say this was the first game where I was like, ooh, with Brady, man. And, you know, he's 21st on the season in EPA per dropback. He's below like Marcus Mariota. Okay. Like,
oh,
not great. You know, adjusted yards per attempt, another quarterback metric. I really, and of course with all these things, like it doesn't completely isolate the quarterback, right? We know right, that, right, but right. Like, you know, right. Adjusted yards per attempt, Brady's certainly not where you expect him at all. He's 25th, right? He's below Taylor Heineke and Mac Jones.
Yo.
In that metric on the season. So, I think there's a lot of factors at play with the Bucks and why they're disappointing this year. We've talked about the coaching and the play calling a little bit on the show. You know, I think Todd right. Bowles has run a way too conservative operation. I think Byron Leftwich has gotten way too conservative. They really love smacking their head against the wall with the first and 10 runs. They love that stuff. You know, even with Leonard Fournette, like kind of ceding some carries to Rashad White, they're not a good run team, but man, I mean, Brady, like, This was the first game where I was like, he's missing stuff and missing by a lot, like looking by a lot. Yeah. Like, this was the first game where I got 2015 Peyton Manning vibes. Cause I don't think I've gotten 2015 Peyton Manning vibes from Brady very often this year. In fact, like, I think he's for a lot of the season, he still threw a pretty good ball. He still, you know, had a good throwing motion, stuff like that. But the one thing I think is definitely true with Brady, like, he wants to get rid of the ball so fast. He does not look like he wants to get hit. I mean, 2.32 time to throw this year, that is nuts. Like, Tua gets the ball out really fast at 2.4 seconds. Brady, you know, at 2.3, I mean, that's kind of crazy. There's no how can you run a functional offense like that? I mean, nobody, like, Trevor Lawrence is, in terms of guys that have started for the bulk of the year, he's at 2.41. He's at 2.41. Tua's at 2.46. Like, you know, Joe Burrow's at 2.43. Like, that, and I know it's like, oh, it's a 0.1 of a second. But that matters a lot in the NFL,
that
right?
Matters a ton. Yeah, absolutely.
So the fact that Brady is almost a full, you know, point one faster than Lawrence and Tua and Burrow and these guys, that's troubling, man. Like, he wants to get that ball out so fast, and it's just tough in today's NFL to create a bunch of chunk plays like that when your protection's not good either. So there's a lot of issues going on with Brady, but I do think, again, I'm with you that this is the first, at least one of the first few games where I was like, yikes, this is not good.
Yeah, no, I think just the miscommunication that he has, I think, with his receivers, I think, is something too. I think, you know, he had a little bit of a, I don't want to say a shouting match or whatever, but clearly he and Mike Evans had words, right?
That's not the first time that they've not been on the same page, yeah.
But Tom Brady has missed him as well, like bad throws. There was a shot of him too where his he followed through on a pass and banged his throwing hand on a defender's helmet. I wonder how much that hurt him, how much that, you know, kind of hampered him. At the same time, they never showed that he put on tape or did any kind of adjustments to it. Might still be bothering him. I don't know. But man, I tell you what, he's looked bad. He looked bad in this game. I thought he looked bad against New Orleans for about 3.5 quarters.
Right.
Right. And he's had these moments. And I try to find these moments where you're right. Like, his throwing motion looks fine. I think the ball's coming out fine. But maybe the play calling's just not there. And I'll tell you right now, his accuracy to me is just not where we're used to seeing it. I mean, his ball placement is legendary, man. You know what I'm saying?
I know, yeah.
And I just don't think we have that right now. I think the arm strength looks fine. I think you bring up 2015 Peyton Manning or whatever, and Manning's arm was just gone.
Toast, yeah.
At that point. I don't think we're there with Tom Brady, but what has happened to ball placement, dude? Like, what is going on? It doesn't make any sense to me. And again, you talk about all the EPA stuff. I'll bring up passer rating. And again, not a perfect metric by any stretch of the imagination, I understand. But an 88.9 passer rating this year, that's the second lowest rating he's had since 2013. So we're talking about a decade's worth of football here. His lowest passer rating came in his last season in New England at 88.0. But as we know, that last year in New England, he had absolutely no one.
No one.
Not a soul to throw to in New England.
Well, they did trade a second round pick for Mohamed Sanu, so.
Oh, man. That's I forgot about that. Oh, Mo Sanu, no. Oh, my God. I tell you what, man. Bill Belichick, the GM, has not helped Bill Belichick, the coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that was, by the way, that was after using a first-round pick on N'Keal Harry, so.
Oh, brutal. That is so bad. I think that offseason, too, then they spent big money to go get Nelson Aguilar, right? Like, oh, my
God.
No,
that was a couple more. That was a couple.
Seasons after?
Yeah, that was a couple after.
Golly. Jesus Christ. Is there any worse wide receiver evaluator in the NFL than Bill Belichick right now? What's going on? Come on, Bill. Yeah, you're better than this.
They swung another big one on Tyquan Thornton this past year. Jesus
Christ. Unbelievable. Okay.
Hey, New England, you could find my email, okay? I'm here to help.
I know. Can you hire my guy, Matt Harmon, to be a wide receiver consultant? Dude, he'll find you the right guys, man. What is going on? Let me tell you, I promise you, he has very reasonable rates, okay? Very reasonable.
I'll work for probably 0.5% of what you're paying Bill.
0.5. There you go. 0.5. Very affordable. Come on.
Very, very affordable.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.